Welcome, everybody. This is the number one episode one podcast of The Dead Fet. And
this is where you say your name.
Del Shadow.
Del Shadow, is that what we're doing? Or
Stealth.
Stealth Shadow. Excellent. See, dude, because if I had to try to say your fucking TK number, I'm going to die. And
TR20.
Oh, dude, you can go ahead and you can stop that immediately. So Stealth Shadow, excellent. So I'm going to say the intro one more time. So right here, Jerry, editor, whoever, cut this segment. And welcome, everybody, to the episode one, number uno. This is the first podcast of Dead Fet and Stealth Shadow.
Damn right it is.
Damn effing right it is. And we're going to be going over everything. This is your one-stop shop to anything nerd slash Star Wars related. We're going to get in deep. We're going to dig in. We're going to feast. We're going to get all hutted out. And we're going to get fat off of the information that we're about to explode on top of. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get nuts. This is going to be a little bit different from what you normally listen to on our show, essentially, the Dead Fet show. But this is all-encompassing. Like, the Empire itself. I am the Overlord Supreme. You know what? I can't say Overlord because that's Yushin Vong, and I don't want the mouse to kick in my front door and say, that's Legends. But I will say we are expanding. We are going to take over every piece of this game that we call entertainment. So,
if you're the Overlord, can I be the janitor at least?
Oh my God. You know what you can do? You can work the reactor.
Yes!
In my, not even the Death Star, because the Death Star is nothing to me. What I always thought was the best was the Super Star Destroyer. People don't even realize just how badass the Super Star Destroyer was.
What was the name? Let's see if you know it.
Not okay.
The Executioner.
Yes, it was the Executioner. So again, I always get the Executioner. So people don't know this, but the Super Star Destroyer was actually primarily commanded, if I'm correct, by Vader. So if that was one of Vader's main flagships, at least in the flotilla of spaceships, as far as I'm understanding, because you had Tarkin, you had the boys, you had the crew, but I felt that the Super Star Destroyer Executioner housed a lot of Vader's fist, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you're 100% correct on Vader owning that ship. It's hit a little bit of Legends. We look at Force Unleashed, number one. Starkiller is getting trained on a ship, and he leaves. What is that ship he's leaving on?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we know that Vader was overseeing it, getting his – I believe he was overseeing his ship get built, just like his home, a.k.a. his temple, his castle. Yeah. So I really like that about that game in the beginning. We saw the Executioner just, you know – that massive ship just getting put together. And I just like the fact like where Starkiller and Vader hung out or trained or did all the dark side stuff, it was hidden inside that ship and no one else knew. So I think that was the very first spot to be made. Vader knew and he's expanded on it.
So I'm going to hit you with something. And I know we're going to go right into, we're going deep into lore right now, but this is something like, excuse that, I have a neighbor with a very loud motorcycle.
You're right.
So here's my deal, right? And we're going to go into some Thrawn stuff.
It's your boy.
So, yes, he is. So Thrawn, for people that don't know this, Arinda Price, Governor Arinda Price, she was one of the main people when you think about when you think about what Thrawn wanted to achieve, Thrawn did not like the idea of the Death Star. He wanted to have fighters, ships, maneuverable craft. Because if you think about the Death Star is a big, hulking giant, not necessarily capable of the maneuverability of a Star Destroyer, of a starfighter, you know, X, Y, and Z. So
you're saying that Thrawn will just strictly like an armada, a fleet.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Thrawn.
Like, that, like the end of our. Go ahead. No.
We, like you're talking about the
the ending of Rise of Skywalker.
Absolutely. That's
100%. I'm like, yo, because look at the Star Destroyers they had. They had the capability of a Star Destroyer or AKA Starkiller Base. That I was like, yo, that's power. And I understand what if that because I'm not a Thrawn fan, but what you just said, Thrawn had that as command. Game over.
Absolutely. Like so that's the thing is I feel like Rise of Skywalker would have been perfect to introduce, especially with the New Order. I think that the final. What do they call them? So the Final Order, Last Order, or New Order?
So, I always think of that meme. You thought this was the First Order, but this is the Final Order.
Yeah, it's the Final Order. So my whole thing is that when I think about this, I think that Thrawn would have been awesome to introduce into live action film in The Rise of Skywalker. I thought that would have been amazing, especially with the armada when they all rise out of the clouds.
So sick.
It would have been perfect to go to the flagship and just see Thrawn. Don't even have to say his name. Just show a blue-skinned humanoid with red piercing eyes. Like, dude, I would have driven myself mad.
So I know you want him live. We're not going to talk. I mean, eventually we're going to talk about Mando Season 2. But, hey, I know I'm getting your hopes. Let's just see. Have you watched Rebels? Or if you have not. If anybody has watched all the Rebels, sorry, spoiler alert, it's been over like 3 years, I think. Thrawn and Ezra goes in the future. I'm sorry, they hyperspace. No one's seen them. Well, in season two of Mando, we're getting Ahsoka and supposedly Sabine.
And for people that don't understand, Ahsoka was supposed to go after
Ezra.
So if we're getting Ahsoka back, like so, okay. So, and I hate to stomp all over you, bro. But I'm gonna be an AT-AT. And by the way, anyone that says AT-AT is effing wrong. Okay, and I'm willing to fight you on that because you're not gonna tell me that the nomenclature of the AT-STs of all the other walkers out there, you're not gonna tell me that you pronounce letter for each individual one, but then when we get to the AT-AT, you tell me that, oh no, it's AT-AT. George Lucas, I will strangle you. I will come to Skywalker Ranch and I will strangle you. Because
if you went to Skywalker Ranch and Adam Driver just standing there, I'd lose my shit.
I would have to impose my will upon him only because I am the dead Fett, so I feel like I would have to. That would be expected. And then I would apologize to him when no one else is like, hey, Adam, I'm sorry, bro. You know what I mean? Please don't hurt me. Please don't hate me. You know, you couldn't hurt me. But so back to my original thing. So Thrawn, right? I feel that the Superstar Destroyer Executioner would have been Thrawn's grand admiration. Like, I feel like he would have truly loved the Executioner because I think in my mind that would have been Thrawn's idea of a world killer, of an enemy killer, just super imposing force. But I feel like he would not have gone anything larger than the Superstar Destroyer Executioner. That's just me personally.
Yeah, because let's talk about like military aspect wise. Death Star, yeah, it had great power, but then they were still learning how to use it. And that eventually the Final Order got to do it in the Star Destroyers. Look what happened to Starkiller Base, a.k.a. Was it Planet Ilium? A lot of people didn't know that. It was it's a big damn target. And little things can just knock the biggest target out of the sky. But with Star Destroyers or the Super Star Destroyer or I can't remember Snoke's. You remember what Snoke's ship was called? That giant thing?
Oh, goodness.
I think it was bigger. I think it was bigger than the Executioner. But let's talk, like, we look at the Executioner and
okay,
let's
say but hold on, because now we're okay. Me, this is where me and you, like, this, okay. So when people listen to this podcast, they're gonna understand something. Me and you are gonna argue. This is gonna happen.
100%. 100%.
100%. I'm gonna argue with you right now that bigger is not always better. Correct. I take 100%. A Thrawn, and then again, I guess we're not arguing, but I'm gonna take an aspect on this, and I'm gonna say that bigger is not always better. That Snoke's flagship was potentially a larger target, and then you know what? I'm going on such a tangent right now, but remind me personally. You have to bring this up. Last Jedi opening scenes. Do me a favor and remind me to say that in this podcast, because we got to talk about that. But going back, I think that Executioner should have been as big as you go. Personally,
you think that's it? That's it. Stop right there. You're talking about like that's the
that should have been it. That should have been the Death Star size of all Star Destroyers.
Well. I 100% agree, because it was intimidating. The design of it and everything.
Think about how many turbo lasers were on that thing, man.
But no, the design, it was sleek. The regular Star Destroyer was big. It always reminds me of a snail to this day. Mm. But the Executioner was, to me, more intimidating than the Death Star. It's just that design. And then I see Snoke's ship. Is it me, or did it look like a B-2 bomber or something, like a stealth fighter?
It looked very silly. It looked like a B-2 bomber. It honestly looked like someone that was trying to incorporate real life into Star Wars. And then from there, I was just like, you know, whatever. And we're really talking about a lot of The Last Jedi, and which I will get to this. But I will say in general, when it comes to fighter combat, you have to understand Thrawn. So Thrawn, I will always view Thrawn as the single most powerful person in the Star Wars universe. And I will back that up with facts. Go ahead, ask your and this is me leading you into the question. Go ahead and ask me. I know you want to ask me.
You heard that deep breath, didn't you?
I know you did. Thrawn is the most powerful person in the entire Star Wars universe, and go ahead and say why. Go ahead. Ask me why.
Well, hold on. One, I just had to look up Snoke's ship. Stupidest name. The Supremacy. Did not like that at all.
Like, can it come up? That's so lame, no. Dude.
So here's my thing. I do not agree, but I also don't disagree, I should say, about Thrawn.
Okay.
He is. He's the Einstein of the Empire. Tell me I'm wrong there.
You're not wrong. No, I would say he's almost like a compilation of Einstein, Tesla, Elon Musk, like all thrown together. But who would you say? Okay, so you don't view him as the strongest person in the galaxy. So go ahead. Who do you think is stronger than him?
Well, we got to look at it like this. I got to look at strength by you cannot just say the Force anymore, because we see because look, Mandalorians, let's go back to the day. Mandalorians were taking out Jedi with no problem, and they were just highly skilled.
Absolutely.
Thrawn, highly skilled martial artist in hand-to-hand combat, highly skilled intelligence-wise, like book smart, and highly skilled in how to read people and knowing their culture. And I can't remember what blaster he used, but I know he had used it. I think it was a dual-wield blaster or a single. But my problem is this. Thrawn is very, like I said, very highly skilled. He went against Ezra. All right. Ezra was, I'm gonna say, maybe Luke Skywalker force capability. Because we really never saw how strong he got. The closest I'll say is the force he got strong wise. Let's say Luke Skywalker and Empire Strikes Back, excuse me.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with you there, because
stronger. No way.
You're only thinking, okay, let's cut the BS. All right. We're not going by Disney's version. I'm going by Star Wars universe. No. I'm going by all of it. Luke in Empire Strikes Back is a Padawan to me. Okay.
So is Ezra.
Absolutely. But I would say Ezra is more similar to a Return of the Jedi, Luke.
Really? Oh, man.
Okay.
I don't know.
But listen to me. I'm going to tell you this. Okay. But again, this is where we're going to fight. And I love this. I love this because I want to battle someone that's as influenced by Star Wars as much as me. I'm going to tell you this right now. Ezra is a comparable person to Luke in Return of the Jedi simply because of force prowess and kind of like a affinity, like how in tuned you are. Because I've always felt that like the force is a body of water. I don't know if you've heard me talk about this. We've actually talked about this earlier.
It was a great conversation.
I'm telling you right now. So the force is a body of water. What someone does, the force is not light, it's not dark, it is the force, okay? What an individual does with it and manipulates it is either a light action or a dark action, okay? And there's going to be people that say like, oh, Mike, man, the Dead Fed is a great Jedi. I'm like, you know what, dude? I am one with the force and the force is with me. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I will always say that the force is a conduit. The force itself is power, and we are conduits to that power. And what we do, the actions that we take, that in its sense can be interpreted as light or dark. So when we look at Luke in Return of the Jedi, we're seeing someone that has been under the tutelage of Yoda. But obviously Yoda in his immense years, he is not the same Yoda that we see episode 3, you know, Revenge of the Sith. This is a different Yoda. This is a hermit. This is more of a cautious, careful Yoda. I feel that he saw within Luke the potential to become a user of dark side actions. So I feel like he was a little tiny bit reserved, because if you think back, what does Yoda say to Obi when Luke leaves? He says, there is another. So I always felt that Yoda in himself was very reserved about what he taught to Luke, because he said, hey, you know what? You know, if this egg turns out to be spoiled, there's always another one. You know what I mean?
So yeah, I totally understand. Yeah. I mean, but I just don't feel like Ezra, like, well, here, this is why I don't believe Ezra's that power. Here, prime example, Luke would just say he is about right. That's him defeating Vader was his Jedi Knight trials. No way. Near.
That's bullshit. Ezra. That's bullshit. No, I'm gonna say right now, Luke should not have been made a Jedi Knight after episode five.
No.
Bullshit.
No. I know. I'm not saying I'm saying Return of the Jedi when he defeated his dad. I will give him that. There is no way Ezra at episode 4 with Thrawn. Thrawn whooped his ass in hand-to-hand combat. And that's why Luke was strong in the force to beat his dad, but he used his anger, though. Let's give him that, though. But that's why I still think Ezra is in episode 5, Luke. Because if Thrawn could take him single, hand-to-hand combat, and I think maybe a couple troopers and gadgets, he even shot Ezra. So yeah, in the shoulder or something, and he couldn't use any, got rid of his lightsaber. But yeah, that's like back to, like, I know we're kind of trailing off, but yeah, Thrawn, he's up there. But Ezra's nowhere is weaker than Luke. And I said he's a episode 5 Luke.
So okay, so here's my whole deal, right? What trials does a Jedi Padawan have to go through in order to become a knight? Do you remember them?
I got you. Do I know off the top of my head? Give me 30 seconds. There's a lot. I know trial by flesh, trial by mirrors.
Well, you have spirit, insight. You have courage. You have skill. You already said one, flesh. And then obviously, and I want to say that's it. I think I want to say there's like six. There's like six of them. And I think I named them skill, courage, flesh, spirit. Uh-oh. And then you said, and it's like, I want to say there's another.
I got it. Padawans must go through 9 steps of trial. Teamwork, isolation, fear, anger, betrayal, and my phone just did something stupid. Betrayal, focus, instinct, forgiveness, and protection. Again, let me look on how this is, because if you look through, what was it, the very first Clone Wars, the and not the 3D or the newest ones, but you remember like the 5-minute ones, the mini sagas?
Oh, of course.
All those are amazing. But the little guy with big ears, I can't remember his name, he has a scar, and he said the trial of mirrors or something like that. That's how I remember him. But yeah. What was your point? My bad.
So my main point is once a, like, think about Obi, right? Obi-Wan was made a Jedi Knight following the conclusion of episode one. And why was that?
Because he defeated Yoda.
But Yoda in himself said, well, you know, you've battled against a Sith Lord. Because you have a Sith Lord and then you have a Sith Dark Lord. So the Sith hierarchy is very different. So, I mean, I want to say Yoda in his choosing did not necessarily know of the apprentice and master formula, the Bane's Rule of Two. Because, again, Bane's Rule of Two is not necessarily known to anyone outside of the Sith. So when you have the trials of knighthood, I felt that Yoda's decision and the council's decision to make Obi-Wan a Jedi Knight following the conclusion of episode one was because of his actual encounter with Maul, but what he had gone through on Naboo. You know what I mean? So we see that Obi-Wan has gone through the trial of skill by his ability to hold his own and defeat a Sith Lord, okay? We see his ability to, you know, have courage as well by his duel with Darth Maul, okay? The Darth Maul kind of duel kind of like checked the block for Obi-Wan on multiple areas. The trial
I'm looking at it right now.
So when we talk about the trial of flesh, you know, we see that I think for Obi-Wan, when it comes to like flesh, because flesh is kind of like a, I want to say like hardship and pain and things like that. Like it's kind of like on the surface. And from what how I understand, I think losing Qui-Gon and kind of coming close to having to like utilize the Force to empower Obi-Wan's maneuvers and do what he had to do in that entire engagement, I feel like that kind of like surpassed him through flesh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, flesh is not saying anything on here now, apparently. But let's see. Here's so teamwork worked well with his master. Mm-hmm. Easy. Like, isolation got, they separated. All right, I'll give him that. And then he had to learn how to become his own. Fear, lost his master. Anger. He even said it. He fought Maul angry. Betrayal. What was it? And when he was betrayed, I think it was like when they were, him and Qui-Gon were arguing. Focus. I'd say the beginning of the movie, because even Qui-Gon said that. Instinct. Wasn't he was guiding the little Naboo. The Gungan ship in the water, because he was dodging all that. So that's instinct. I'll give him that. Forgiveness.
Okay.
Forgiveness. I don't know when forgiveness though. I couldn't
forgiveness.
See it,
I will see him in forgiving the dark side potential in Anakin. Because if you see his encounter with Qui-Gon, when he tells Qui-Gon he's too old, the council forbids it. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
forgiving Anakin in that necessary, like that kind of beginning step. Because a lot of these little things you bring up, they fall within the main versions of the trials that all Jedi must go through in order to, you know, become Jedi Knights. And I feel like when it comes to Anakin, when it comes to Obi-Wan, he had gone through so many of them just in a short span of time on Naboo. But when we look back to Luke in episode 5, Luke,
he wasn't
no
there.
Way, shape, form, presence, anything like that can be compared to a Jedi Knight ready individual. Even in Empire Strikes Back, maybe towards the end, we encounter courage. We encounter spirit. You know, we encounter, you know, I wouldn't even say skill.
No.
But again, I don't even know if. So here's my thing. And this is a question for you, because we're going to, this is episode one. We're going to get wild. I feel like people are going to have a hard time catching up to what we're talking about. Do you think that Anakin, because I will not call him by his Sith name, I will call him by his Christian name. Do you think Anakin actually meant harm to Luke?
No.
Ever.
He held back. And I was just thinking this.
Thank you.
Sorry, here we go.
Thank you.
So here we go. The reason why he held back. He wanted Luke to rule with him. All right? Two.
Absolutely. He said it. Bro, he freaking said it to Luke. In episode 5, he says it to him. We can overthrow the Emperor. We can rule the galaxy as father and son.
I know, right? Oh, so sick. Vader, I think, only fought his son to see where he was at.
Absolutely. Again, like a trial in itself.
So, like, yeah, it's all it was. It was a testing. Like, so here's why. The carbonized, bullshit, he was not trying to take him to the Emperor. He was trying to, like, stop his son and bring, like, them separate, like Starkiller, and train himself. Like, look, no, we could do this. Maybe Luke could have. Remember Force Unleashed, Luke in the DLC, the download part, he did go to the dark. Vader only struck at his son when his son hit him in his right shoulder. His armor, but he didn't really get hurt by that.
And I would say this. What does Vader actually do? He cuts off a limb that is, it is not life-threatening. We're talking about Star Wars here. You lose an arm, you get a freaking bionic one. There is no one in the Star Wars universe that is crying over a lost arm. I'll be honest with you. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'll say Vader was not Vader fighting Luke.
No, it was dad and son.
And what is Force Lightning? I want your definite, because I'm going to explain this now so this can be understood across all of my followers, all of the Deadfoot family, everybody in general. I want people to understand right now exactly what Force Lightning is. You go ahead and you give me your definition of Force Lightning. Go ahead.
So here's my definition for Force Lightning. I will resort back to great book, Darth Bane. He is training with, what's her name? Githany.
Yes, Githany, the Jedi trained Sith kind of newborn that ends up getting fucking shellacked by the thought bomb.
And turned down by Darth Bane.
It must not have been that good of sex, you know?
I guess not. So that, for me, Force Lightning is for Sith. Jedi have done it, and we can talk about that later on in episodes. But for Sith, that is, I feel like, them shooting out all the hatred they have and everything they have towards that certain person or what has caused them pain. Prime example, let's do Bane. Second most powerful Force Lightning user. Number one will always be the Emperor Palpatine, hands down. Because look how strong his lightning became in Rise of the Skywalker. At Return of the Jedi, he was hitting Luke with it and Vader. Rise of Skywalker, taking down fleets. He hated everybody. Rey failed him. Kylo Ren failed. Everybody's got failed. He was like, you know what? I got this. Sit back and watch this show. Boom. It's just his hatred for everything. He just unleashes anger, man. That's how I feel like. That's what I feel like Force Lightning is.
All right. So I'm about to blow your mind, all right?
Blow it.
So name all characters within the known, accepted Star Wars universe that utilize Force Lightning.
All right, are we doing Sith or Jedi?
I'm going all of them. All users of Force Lightning that has been written down on in the Star Wars accepted universe.
All right, the only Jedi that I know is Plo Koon. He called it Force Judgment. He used the power of lightning. He was trying to, what's the word? Some guy had a female or a kid or something, and he couldn't hit him with lightsabers, so he used lightning. Force Judgment. Jedi said, hey, keep training on it, but he said I was not angry. Okay, cool. All right. Canon. All right, so we have Snoke. I'll go with him. He had a little weird lightning. He just got aggravated with Kylo Ren, shot it at the ground, which is kind of cool, and it rose up and hit Kylo Ren because I don't think he wanted to do harm to him. We have the Emperor, hands down, number one. Dooku. He was the very first one I liked with his lightning. He could use his lightning and pick people up and throw them. We're talking about canon-wise. I think that's it, man. Rey. You can't use Star. Oh, my. I forgot. Yeah, that's anger, baby. I totally forgot about her. Yeah, Rey. Like I said, she was angry at Kylo Ren pushing her and all that. And she just unleashed it, man. It was just an explosion. Like here, not change subject or anything, but like Dragon Ball Z. When they turned Super Saiyan, all that rage is built up, and they just got to release it.
So here's my definition of Force Lightning. It is the physical manifestation of the Force. Look at everything else. Look at the Force. When have we seen in canon lore the Force ever manifested in physical form? We have people pushing, people pulling, telekinesis, excessive jumping.
What about healing?
Healing. Okay, so healing has only ever been seen in physical lore in episode 9, obviously, with Return of the Jedi. Rise of Skywalker. But if we look at physical manifestation, like you can actually see it. Right? Because a lot of the times it's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind. But the physical manifestation to actually have it appear only appears during excessive emotional breaking points. Whether that emotion is a good emotion or a bad emotion is irrelevant. It is a physical manifestation of the highest point of of use, right? So when you look at Force Lightning, right, you realize that Force Lightning is by far supposed to be one of the most powerful attacks. Why is it that only a lightsaber can absorb Force Lightning and not, say, Durasteel on a starfighter or on a Star Destroyer? Why is it that Force Lightning can take down a fleet? Are we saying that the Emperor was stronger in Rise of Skywalker versus Return of the Jedi? Are we saying that that's a stronger Palpatine? Because I think it's a weaker Palpatine.
So let's talk about that Palpatine real quick. So I believe he healed up. All right, and guys, I think he just he got reborn. He didn't know how to control his lightning. You get what I'm saying? He's like, boom, just let it go. He didn't know how to manifest it, I guess the word is. He just unleashed it and stuff. Mm-hmm. The Palpatine from Return of the Jedi is the most wisest Sith Lord we have ever. No one's ever came close to his rule. As much I'm not a big fan of him, but He manipulated so much. He was so goddamn smart.
He's so smart. But why is he so smart? Because he realized that he wasn't having to be a physical presence. Okay,
he didn't have to.
Okay, so here's where I'm just gonna freaking rancor through the dang room on this one, and it's that Vader being able to withstand. What was the difference between the lightning that Palpatine used on Luke versus the lightning that Palpatine used on Vader in Return of the Jedi?
All right, so The only difference, I remember this in canon, it's in the comics, and the Emperor made Vader's armor weaker and more acceptable, I guess the word, to lightning. Mm-hmm. And Luke, well, Vader, we got him. So Luke was taking it full force, but so was Vader. But Vader was already hurt when he got his hand chopped off, his little wheezing stuff. I guess that armor, man, all the electronicals and stuff, when he got zapped, he just got ruined. But here's the thing. He didn't really die from lightning. He died from taking his mask off or helmet. But here's another thing. Luke even says that. If you take your mask off, I'll die. Dude, we saw you in Empire Strikes Back with your mask off. You were just chilling in your little ball. So that's one thing that always bothered me about Vader, like, you take your mask off, you're going to die. I mean, come on, man.
Again, so Vader's helmet is comprised of multiple components and sections. Just the top piece did not remove his life support system. Okay? The difference between the lightning that was used on Luke versus the lightning that was used on Vader is the lightning that was used on Luke was meant to torture / inflict enough pain in order to get an acceptable response out of Luke. Because think about what Palpatine wanted. Palpatine wanted Luke, who is a Skywalker, who is the heir to the Skywalker name, Vader's son. He wanted the juice, okay? So he doesn't want to destroy the fruit. So the lightning is meant to be more, you know, coercive than destructive. But the lightning that is used on Vader in Return of the Jedi, I believe, is meant to be, it is the full manifestation and preservation of life that Palpatine could have possibly used in an actual instance. You know what I mean? The fact of the matter is that he unleashes his Force lightning, not in a sense to, you know, protect him, because you think, you know, Vader picks him up, lifts him over his head, and then all of a sudden he just looks like an entire conduit just went down and there's lightning everywhere. I felt that that was Palpatine trying to preserve himself while Vader throws him down the shaft. So I felt like he was more powerful trying to bring Vader down.
So here you go.
That's what killed him.
You just hit something. I don't think you even know about it. I'm going to read this to you. All right, the variants of Force lightning, the variant of the ability known as chain lightning, involved a burst of lightning that would spread from the first target to those around. But this is what you hit on. I was shocked. Another variant used by Sidious was the power of Dark Aura, a miniature storm, violent force energy, and lightning surrounding his producer that tortured and slowed the movement of caught within the radius. That's what Sidious was doing to Luke. Now, let's go back to Rise of Skywalker's, right? With his powers amplified by the Force, Sidious unleashed a storm of Force lightning upon his enemies on Exegol. So there we go. His Force and Return of the Rise of Skywalker amplified because of Rey and Ben.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You said was perfect. The one that we saw with Luke torturing him caused him just serious pain. With Vader, I agree with you. Let's say he used the amplified version of Sith lightning to cause more harm.
No, absolutely. And that's the interesting thing about all of this, is that at the end of the day, I truly feel that the battle of Force prowess between everybody, it was definitely showcased that what was utilized against Vader, I feel, was way more important than what was utilized possibly in Revenge of Skywalker, Rise of Skywalker. And it's honestly, this is going to be an ongoing battle between you and me. And I feel like we went down such a rabbit hole. Because at the end of the day, the main thing that we were trying to get at was, who's stronger, Thrawn or Palpatine? And in my eyes, it will always be Thrawn. And what we are going to have to do is we're going to have to, this is where we need to take a break. We are going to have to come back to this talk. And we're going to have to discuss some things. All right. So I'm going to pause right here. Give me 1 second.
Oh, he says, all right, booting up a computer.
Okay. All right. So we are back. Some final moments in this episode. So we've gone over so much today.
We have.
We have gone over almost too much because we must leave things for dramatic interlude for the next episodes. So, Stealth, my man.
Yes.
Bring me, what are people going to see these next couple episodes?
Bring them home.
Bring them home.
So my dead fit. And the people out there that love Star Wars, this is what we're going to be eventually talking about. Number one, of course, Star Wars. Hands down. We're going to talk about some news. One person in particular that Dead Fit and I truly love, he's finally back in out there in the world. I think he knows who I'm talking about. We're going to talk about Mandalorian, during creating the season of two, some drama went down. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about my favorite thing, Black Series Star Wars 6-inch figures. I enjoy that. And then, besides Star Wars lore, canon, one thing that no one really talks about, that designs of lightsaber hilts. I would love to have one podcast strictly about hilts. Oh, I have so many that I love, and I know which one Dead Fett loves, but I think the one I love more will defeat him on one-on-one combat. That's just a little taste.
I don't know. I feel like I'm so stricken between which ones I love the most. It's just...
I know which one you like. We can't talk about it yet. That's like, that could be episode 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Yeah, it's... People are going to get... If you're into Star Wars, you want to listen. You want to listen to this podcast. Because I'm telling you right now, this podcast will take you down the rabbit hole that you don't want to travel. We're going to go to the darkest places in Star Wars lore. And I'm going to try to get a third person on this show.
We're trying right now.
I'm also going to try to get another person on this show. I'm going to get my fingers crossed and say I'm going to get Mark freaking Thompson.
Ooh.
On this show. The voice of Thrawn and the voice of a pretty much the majority of Star Wars novels that walked the face of the earth. We're going to have him on this show. I'm going to get him on. I've already had him on the main Dead Fett show. I'm going to see if I can get him on the podcast. You know, I think I can do it. It was a big hassle to get him on the main show because I had to go through Disney and I had to go through all this other stuff. But we're gonna get Mark Thompson on this show because, and who knows, I might get Timothy Zahn himself.
Ooh. We'll see. You know what goal I would love to get on here? Our boy, and that's all I'm gonna say.
So if we're talking about Drew Karpyshyn,
no. Better than that.
Better than that. Ooh.
Him.
Oh, my boy.
Oh, your boy.
The Duel of Fates himself. The man, the myth, the legend.
The only one person to defeat Liam Neeson.
The only one person to ever make me fall in love with another man. I don't know. He won't answer any of my emails. So we'll see. We'll do it the best we can. We're going to get him. We're gonna get.
He's going through some stuff.
He's going through some stuff, but we're gonna figure it out. And for as far as the quintessential, the numero uno, the introduction to the lustrous, the scintillating, the deliciousness of my voice, the Dead Fett, and the Stealth Shadow.
It's me.
This is the Dead Fett Podcast. And with that, we bid you adieu.
Bye-bye.